from Jefferson Public Radio. I'm Eric Thiel. Welcome to another JPR Live session from afar. My guests today this last year released a record called Dandelion on their own label called Black River Americana. It's Carolina Story. Hello. Thanks for doing this. Nice to meet you.
Hey, Eric.
Hey. Thanks for having us.
Where are you guys today? Obviously, you're not in Ashland, Oregon.
No, we're in Kingston Springs, Tennessee, just at our home outside of Nashville.
How far outside of town?
Oh, it's about 30 minutes from doorstep to city.
Yeah.
Yeah, just west of town. It's a nice little community.
We moved out here just a little over a year ago, and it actually was great timing. We have two little kiddos, and hopefully you can't hear them screaming in the backyard right now. But yeah, they have lots of nature to explore out here.
Has that made life a little easier for the family during the pandemic?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yes. We've discussed many times, you know, how grateful we are to just to be out here as opposed to being in the city during all this stuff, you know?
Yeah.
And the new house, it came with an above ground pool. So this summer was, you know, we're usually on the road, but we got to hang out with the kids and
Ben was doing too many cannonballs in a not so deep pool.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. I guess if you're going to be confined to your home premises, you might as well take advantage of everything you've got at your disposal.
Exactly. So, yeah. Exactly.
You mentioned family. You guys are a married couple and bandmates at the same time. I was looking into kind of early days for you guys before Carolina Story even formed officially as a band, and it mm-hmm. seems as if both of you were doing music before you met and before you started dating. Is that right?
Yeah. I was doing kind of a separate singer-songwriter thing. Ben, you had been in a few bands.
Yeah, I had been in bands since I was 17, or, you know, 14, you know, yeah. So I went to play football in college in Massachusetts, and then ended up transferring to Memphis, where I met Emily, and it's a small music college there called Visible Music College. And yeah, we met there in 2007. And I joined a band, Emily was doing her own separate thing, and you know, it was kind of love at first sight for me and not at all for her. So I found out that her favorite artist, singer and musician in general, was a girl named Brandi Carlile.
Yeah, I've heard of her.
Who's still, yeah.
Yeah, have you heard her?
Who's still, you know, one of our favorites and biggest inspirations. And so I learned that at that time, that this was 07, so the Story album had just come out. And I learned the majority of that album and kind of came to Emily and said, hey, let me... you know, I can stand behind you and play guitar and you can sing. And so music was what kind of, you know, brought us together.
Wow. So. You did some serious wooing.
Oh, yeah. It was a strategic military operation.
Yeah. We probably wouldn't be here today if he hadn't brought me that Brandi Carlile.
Nah,
you know,
I don't think so.
Well done, sir.
We have her to thank.
Yeah.
So was it music then that brought you guys together, or was there some attraction before you ever even played a note together?
Like I said, it was for me.
Wow.
But she was, you know, Emily had these, you know, she had big dreams and goals. I never thought I would end up in Nashville, but, you know.
Yeah, I knew I always wanted to end up here. So I thought, you know, I was trying to stay focused.
Yeah, and she wasn't going to let a guy derail her, you know, her.
It wasn't love at first sight for me, unfortunately. It was a lot of my roommates convincing me to give him a chance.
Yeah, so. Man, I paid a lot of people off.
So tell me about turning the corner, like 2009 or so, turning the corner, forming Carolina Story officially and making a go of it as a band together.
Yeah, we, you know, he had, like he said, he did college in several places actually, and also spent a little time in North Carolina, Brevard College specifically, and he was a whitewater raft guide out there. And so one of the first places we went together, he said, I have to take you to North Carolina. You've never been. Come with me, and let's just go explore and, you know, let's dive deeper into this relationship that's forming. And it was on that trip that we were like, let's start the band. Let's do this.
Yeah, let's, when we get back to Memphis, let's, you know, join, you know, combine our talents and actually start a band. And so that's where we get the name, Carolina Story. That was sort of, you know, we formed the band on that camping trip, you know, at least coming up with the plan, you know.
Yeah, and ever then from that point on, we've been playing live shows together and writing songs together. And
we got married in 2009, and I mean, our honeymoon was pretty much a tour.
Yeah, we did the West Coast.
Did the West Coast.
Right on. Well, Emily, you mentioned that you didn't let a guy derail your career. There was a pause button hit for a couple of years, which we'll talk about in just a minute. Ben and Emily Roberts are my guests, better known as Carolina Story. Their newest record is called Dandelion, out on Black River Americana. CarolinaStory.com is their website. What do you guys want to play for us first?
We'll play a song called See You. No, let's do Dandelion. We'll do the title track of the album. It's called Dandelion.
And now, Ben, you've got a guitar. Emily, guitar for you, or just singing?
Yeah, mostly just singing, a little tambourine playing
okay,
for me.
Fantastic. This is the title track from Dandelion. It's Carolina Story on JPR Live Sessions. That one is called Dandelion. Ben and Emily Roberts, Carolina Story, are playing for us today. That's the title track from their newest, out on Black River Americana. CarolinaStory.com is the place to go online. So married in 2009, kind of formed in 2009. You guys were definitely touring, playing a ton of shows, getting some really good feedback. I was interested to discover that you didn't really release an album back in that period, though. I mean, there's some releases, and they're kind of, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, we had recorded some stuff and had released some stuff.
If you've been with us for the long haul, you've seen the hidden albums that we no longer speak of.
Yeah. I think we've got some in the closet. So yeah. If we ever get to tour again, We'll bring them to the merch table.
We look pretty young and fresh. I know that.
Yeah. But yeah, there was a time, you know, for years and years, we kind of wore all the hats. I mean, we wrote the songs, we performed them, we were managers and booking agents. We booked all of our own tours. Everything was DIY, and we really prided ourselves on that early on in our career, and giving us that sort of grassroots and blue collar mentality. Did a lot to inform, I think, our songs now that we're writing and stuff. But we grew weary of that. And, you know, we had been told no in Nashville, you know, many times. And
you know, we are married. And I think we, especially me, I wanted to start a family. And so, you know, after touring for 7 straight years, I think I was like, okay, let's maybe pull back the reins a little bit. I feel like we're playing so many quantity shows, but they're not necessarily quality. And so actually slowing down and having our son made us realize that, you know? And so we were working almost too hard, and we were finally at a place where we're like, let's maybe seek out some help.
Yeah, we had kind of just become burned out, you know, and it seemed like our priorities in life were shifting, obviously starting a family. And, so during that time, you know, Emily was at home with our son, and I was a substitute teacher, and then ended up parlaying that into a creative writing position at a private school here in Nashville. I did that for 2 years and coached football, basketball, baseball, and even wrestling for a semester, even though I'd never wrestled in my entire life. So things were changing for us, and I was actually had already applied to some grad schools, and I was going to, you know, become an athletic director. It looked like our life plan was completely changing, you know, a full 180. And, we were like, we'll always be Carolina Story and we'll write music and put records out and stuff. But, you know, as far as this being the main thing, it looked like things were changing. So, and right at that time, our attorney, our music attorney, a good friend of ours, said, "Hey, there's this label, Black River, and they're wanting to start an Americana wing. Would you guys be interested in coming to play some songs?" And we were, you know, why not? We have nothing to lose, you know?
Yeah.
And we had done these showcases before, and, you know, so we went in there just kind of not really expecting anything, but really found family there, and they signed us and signed us to a publishing deal too. So
yeah, it just overall felt like a really great restart, you know, to finally have a team of people that believed in us as much as we do, and
sort of reinvigorated us, you know.
Yeah.
And right.
So that's a crazy story, you know. I mean, if that hadn't happened, who knows where we'd be, you know. But it's kind of that type of thing, you know, when you stop trying, you know, and stop banging your hands, you know, against the wall to make something happen, it does.
I know you guys have talked about the resiliency of the Dandelion and how that became the name of the new record, but it is an interesting connection that all of those seeds planted so long ago have turned out to have jump started the restart of Carolina Story as your primary focus. So Lay Your Head Down comes out in 2018 as kind of the reboot, the restart, and you've got a decade's worth of material to pour through, to cherry pick the songs of what is effectively your debut record.
Right.
Did that make that process easy or really difficult to try and figure out what best represents who you are in some cases many years after those songs were written?
Yeah, I think it was pretty... It was pretty easy. We knew that, you know, I think maybe there were 12 songs on that album. I want to say maybe 3 or 4 of them were new.
Yeah.
Or a couple years old at that point that had not been recorded. But everything else had been previously recorded. And I think we kind of knew, you know, right off the bat which songs we wanted to take another crack at that we maybe felt like deserved a reboot, you know. And it was really cool when our label said, you know, why don't you guys pick 12 songs and then we'll pick 12 and we'll reconvene and see kind of where we're at. And literally we had chosen all the same songs. So it was the shortest meeting. Yeah. It was the shortest meeting of all time.
Well, and that's great news when your label is actually in agreement with, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's what's been the best part of this, I think, you know, just being with a label family that really does give us all creative control.
They truly understand who we are and what we're trying to do in our artistry. And they, for the most part, let us have the reins, you know, which is really freeing, you know. So, yeah, I mean, that Lay Your Head Down is kind of, you know, the bookend of it's, you know, 10 years of our life together. It's sort of that, you know, a glimpse into that, if you will.
Yeah. Will you play us another song?
Yeah. We'll do a song called See You When I See You.
Ah, a song for the times. Maybe not intended when you wrote it. But,
not at all.
But all right, this is Carolina Story playing live for us on JPR Live Sessions.
Lost out in the rain.
See You When I See You, a song about navigating friendships, which has certainly taken on a little bit deeper meaning over the last year, it seems, as we are all isolated from one another, as we are today, doing this remotely. Carolina Story, Ben and Emily Roberts joining me from just outside of Nashville from their home. Dandelion is the new album, carolinastory.com, the place to go online. So for Dandelion, sophomore record, you didn't have 10 years of catalog to pour through. This was a brand new collection that you had to put together. How did that change the pressure, the intensity of getting another project ready to go and record?
I mean, I think it, having a clean slate was really exciting for us. You know, a completely different scenario than Lay Your Head Down. And, you know, we had been writing songs, you know, really took to co-writing a lot more in those 2 years. And, you know, opened ourselves up to doing that. We had never really co-written. And, you know, that was sort of, that helped form the foundation for the next album.
Well, I think it's like what Ben said earlier, like, you know, we were so stubborn about doing everything, you know, ourselves. And even in the songwriting realm, like, just not wanting to take anyone's advice. And but I get that sometimes, but it's also great to put yourself, like he said, with a like mind, but they go about writing completely different. So even if it's a song that Ben, you know, didn't record later, he came home with a different way of maybe approaching a way to write a song. So I think it expanded your mindset too, of the way people write in general. It's really, that's one of the things I love about co-writing. I think I would say that you get to see how all kinds of people go about writing a song.
Yeah. I mean, half the songs on the record, you know, wouldn't be, they wouldn't exist had we not done that.
Yeah.
You said that you always knew that you wanted to make a record that was as close to live on stage as a band as you possibly could rather than piecemeal.
Yeah.
Why was that important to you?
it's been, Ben and I have done the two of us for so long. And then there, a couple years ago, we started bringing guys that we value as friends on the road with us and who really understood the live element. And that's what we wanted to bring to this record. Like, these guys knew us through and through. They weren't just studio musicians either, that they were our friends, and that we all wanted to get in a room and create this moment, this living, breathing moment that wasn't just, oh, let's piece. Oh, you're going to do this part now and you're going to do this part later. It was like, no, let's try to get this in one take. And really let there be mistakes. I hate songs that are so perfect, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, all of our favorite records.
Well, speaking of, you know, as we started off, speaking of the story, Brandi Carlile.
Yeah, I mean,
it's got a really well-known crack in her voice at the pivotal moment of that song.
Exactly. That's the part that I would literally, like, and I'm sure everyone else did it too, but you, like, rewind. I want to hear it again. Rewind. It's like, you know, the part that some people probably go, oh, we got to redo that. And that's what I love about it. It's like, no, we're not
just
redoing that.
Filled with all these little human moments, you know, like all of our favorite Bob Dylan or Neil Young records or whatever it may be. And yeah, I think it was really important to, like Emily said, really bring in that family element, you know, with our friends and our guys that we played on the road with. And, you know, we think it was a success, you know, and I don't know if we'll do it. I don't know if we'll record any other way from here on out. So
it'll all be over Zoom.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
You know, just a couple of weeks ago, we had Liz Longley in here, who has released a couple of records in the last year, Funeral from My Past and also this fantastic holiday EP, both of which were recorded with the help of a guy you guys know quite well, Paul Moak, who produced this record. Tell me about what he brings to the table in helping you guys put your ideas and thoughts to recorded tracks.
Man, Paul is just he's like a sensei guru Yoda type. he's just so, his whole demeanor is very nurturing, and it allows you to, you know, he allows you to really expound on what you've already done. And man, what was really cool was right before we went in the studio, him and I were kind of, it was the day before, and we were asking him some questions, and we were like, so will you be like, you know, you'll be behind the board, you know, in the control room? And he said, I'll be in the, you know, in the trenches with you guys. I'll be playing on every song, you know? So that was new to us, but it was a real, you know, a big sense of camaraderie and you know, even more so than usual, you know, when the main guy, you know, the general, if you will, is down there getting his hands dirty with you. And it was really special. And yeah, he's very special to us. Mm-hmm. And everybody he's worked with has nothing but good things to say about him.
You guys purposely made an album that you would need to have a band for if you were going to recreate it, and then went ahead and released it 6 months into a pandemic.
Yeah.
Have you even seen your bandmates in months?
Yeah, we've done some live streams, and when the album came out in September, we did a full band live stream from one of the studios there in Nashville. And yeah, we see them occasionally, but not like we would. And you know, we were supposed to release the album in July and pushed it to September, thinking that things were going to be okay. We had a whole tour lined up supporting Hayes Carl, and you know, then obviously none of that happened. But you know, it's been so strange to release music during this time, but it's gone really well. You know, people and critics have received it well, and we're very grateful for that.
When things start to happen again, it does not seem as if touring is going to be the same, obviously, as what touring was right before everything started to get shut down. Venues are struggling. It's going to be maybe a lot harder to string together a bunch of towns where you can do dates. So have you guys had conversations about what your approach might be to touring in 2021 or whenever it happens again?
That's a great question. I mean,
not really, just because we don't know, you know, what it will look like. You know, I would like to think that while it may be difficult with venues, you know, struggling and some even shutting down, you know, I would like to think that people are going to be excited even more than they were before. You know, I think when something's taken away, I think when you're able to get it back again, you value it more. So I'm hopeful that fans, you know, that numbers will be better and, you know, as far as just people showing up and stuff. But I don't really know. I don't know.
You know, I mean, it's going to be interesting going back to this, you know, since we're putting this on tape and it will live on, you know, on the internet. But it'll be really interesting to see how the rollout of this vaccine works, doesn't work, and then what that does to kind of kickstart everything again in the entire, you know, cultural community to get everybody back outside to celebrate, as you said, to be excited about being shoulder to shoulder with like-minded folks swaying and rocking out at a show.
Yeah. So.
I can't wait.
Yeah. Well, you know, knock on wood, we'll be here. So we look forward to maybe seeing you sometime in the future.
Yes.
I'm so grateful you had time to do this. Thanks a lot,
Thanks
guys.
Thanks for having us,
Yes,
Eric.
Thank you.
Ben and Emily Roberts, Carolina Story, are my guests today on JPR Live Sessions. Their new record is called Dandelion. You can find information online at carolinastory.com. Will you play one more tune for us?
Yeah.
Yeah, we're going to do one called Daylight.
Fantastic.
Tossed and turned again, the sleepless nights have what we must be a mountain taking hold of me, shifting away, turning the tide, lost in my room, all in my mind. Sing a lullaby for me to make the morning, sitting here waiting on the sun to shine. star trying to eat the morning. Another moment closer to the daylight. The sun
That one is called Daylight. It's Carolina Story. I'm a guest today on JPR Live Sessions, playing us some songs from their newest record called Dandelion, out on Black River Americana. Ben Roberts, Emily Roberts, carolinastory.com is their web address. Guys, thanks again for doing it. It's nice to chat.
Thank you.